So he just thought he would preach on for the Lord to send people, you know, laborers to the harvest. But what he didn't know, there was a teenage boy in the loft as he had to work the organs, and it was David Livingston. And he heard him say that Robert Moffat would wake up in the mornings in Africa and he would see the smoke rising from villages where people have never heard of Christ. And as a teenager, he surrendered.
Amen.
He didn't tell anybody. He just said, I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to go. You know, he becomes a doctor. He becomes, he goes to the mission field. This guy his heart was obviously in Africa, but he mapped out 1 million square miles of Africa because he was also an explorer. He went out and he explored all Africa from east to west. I think it was said he was the first white man to do it. And he won people to Christ. You know, he was so immersed in finishing the work of God that people for years, no one had any contact with him. I mean, not like today, we have cell phones, right? We have WhatsApp, right? No one heard anything from him. No one, they thought he was dead because he was also a famous explorer. You know, the New York Times hires a guy by the name of Henry Stanley, not a Christian, just an explorer, to go see if he can find him. We think he's dead. Well, he goes out and he gets to this camp. The only white man in this camp is David Livingston. And he's out there. He's out there and he finds him. He finds him in this camp, and he just, since he's an explorer too, he's just, you know, he's going to be there for a little bit. He strikes up a friendship with him. And he says this: he converted me to Christ and he wasn't even trying to do so. He was there. He could see the love he had for the people of Africa, and he wasn't even trying to win them. He was just living out his mission as a missionary and showing the love of Christ, and he won this guy. You know, this guy also, because by that time David Livingston was up in age and he was sick, and he tried to talk him into going back to England to get medical care. And David Livingston said this: I am a missionary, heart and soul. God had only one son, and he was a missionary and a physician. A poor, poor imitation of him I am, or wish to be. In this service, I hope to live. In it, I wish to die. He wasn't speaking out of pride. He saw something as a young man. God spoke to him as a young man. This guy was one of the Tituses, right? This guy had a name. This guy was a doctor. You know, he wasn't just some, you know, tire changer, forklift driver, right? This guy was smart. He could have done something. Well, I should say he could have done something else. You know, we can't miss that opportunity. We got so many opportunities. This guy Stanley was won by somebody who wasn't even trying to win him. I think we can fill this church. I think we can fill our churches where we work by just letting people see Christ in our lives. And that is a challenge for a lot of us, for most of us, probably all of us, right? Letting Christ live through us. But you know, that really impressed me, that this man had that testimony, you know? And I know God can do it. You know, when I read that and I thought of that, I said, you know what? I was won by somebody who also wasn't trying to win me. He really wasn't. I gave him conditions. I gave him condition, Sandy. You don't bring your Bible. I don't want you to talk to me about your God. You want to meet me, that's fine. You think I'm gonna harm your, you know, your precious niece, fine, you can meet me. And he wasn't even trying to win me to Christ. And man, God pressed himself on me.
Yes,
incredible.
Yeah.
Because I saw something. From the minute he walked in. From the hug he gave me.
Amen.
And I mean, I'm not too much of a hugger now. I mean, I do like hugging. But back then, forget about it. A man hugging a man? You know? Jiu-jitsu? That's gay. Man, I tell you, it's just amazing to me how the Lord, He can accomplish anything He wants to do. And how we don't believe it. I mean, we say we do, right? We're like that man, oh Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Three things that I want to point out to you, starting in Psalms 81. About missing the opportunity. I want you to see this. 81, starting in verse 13. The first thing that I see that causes us to miss opportunities is to have a disinterest. And that's something that we struggle with, right? Because we all have things that we were very interested in. And something happens, time, other things, whatever comes in the way, and we lose interest. I mean, we're still interested, but we're not really interested, right? Anymore like we were at the very beginning, you know? A lot of marriages fall apart that way, right? Man, I'm real interested in that girl, and then all of a sudden, over the years, you just fall out of interest. Man, you need to keep that interest in that spark, right? You need to keep reminding yourself. You need to keep that on fire. Otherwise, you're going to have real problems. And that's not only in marriages, but in friendships and in so many things. Interest is important, and especially having and keeping interest in the good things. It says here, "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me." You know, for a while, I just thought of that phrase, oh, that my people. Can you imagine the Lord? Oh. How many times has he looked at me and says, oh, John. Oh. For a while, I couldn't get away from just that little phrase. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him by their time should have endured forever. But their time should have endured forever. He that should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. You know, you see a phrase there five times in this portion of scripture, and that phrase is, I should have. I should have. Right? It's an action word. I should have. I should have. It was an expected event. It was something that was an advisable choice. You should have done that. You should have listened. You should have hearkened. You should have trusted. You should have taken God at His word. And God said, I would have done all this. I should have done all this. This was in your bag of blessings. I would have done this.
Right.
What is he talking about? The Lord had every intention. In verse 14, he says, I should soon have what? Subdued their enemies. You know, we all have fears. We all have, you know, things that, and sometimes they're a lot bigger in our head than really what's going on. But God said, I can take care of that. I can subdue anything that you have fear. And he says, I should soon have. But you didn't hearken to me. In verse 14, 15, I should have had their haters submitted. Their time in this land, when they got freed from Egypt, he said, Their time in Canaan, it should have endured. He says in 16, should have been fed with the finest of the wheat. Man, that would have been a good bowl of grape nuts. You know? The finest wheat. And we all know the stories, right? When they came back and they had those clusters of grapes and clusters of, I mean, it said it was a land filled with milk, flowing with milk and honey. It was fertile. And he said, I have so much blessings for you. It's all yours. I'll take care of you. You just gotta obey. You just gotta trust me. You just gotta do it. I know it's impossible. I know you saw the giants. I didn't even hide those people from you. No, we can't do it. In verse 16, should I satisfy thee with the honey out of the rock? All that grace, talking about Christ as our rock. You know, the mercies, the blessings, brethren, the precious promises, right? The everlasting covenant that we have, the gospel that's sweeter than honey. Man, he says, should have I satisfied you, but you didn't hearken. What happened? What happened? They had an incredible salvation. What happened? Well, verse 8 happened. What it says in verse 8, O my people, I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. You know what he's saying? When he says, if you would hearken unto me, he's talking about listen carefully.
Yeah.
Right? He's saying, obey my commandment. Listen and change your behavior. He goes, but my people would not. Verse 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice. And Israel would none of me. You know, I know. The English, a little funny sometimes when we read it, right? For the longest time, I was confused when I read, you know, Psalm 23. And it was, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Why don't I want him? You know, I was thinking, what does that mean? I remember as a kid reading that, thinking, that doesn't make sense. I want the God. I want God. Why don't I want him? Why don't people want him? I was not understanding. But you know what? It says here, would none of me. You know what he's saying? They're refusing to accept him. They wanted nothing to do with the Lord. They rejected help and guidance. You know, we miss opportunities due to disinterest. Don't allow disinterest to mess up, to foil the possibilities God desires to do.
Amen.
You know, we know that God desires to save more people. You know what? I really think God desires to bless us more in this church.
Yeah.
To call out more people.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I don't know about calling more people out in other countries. I know that's the will of God. But at least call out people.
Yeah.
At least start doing something. At least continue to do something. At least get started. Help out. Do something. We're not just observers. If you are in the family of God, He's calling people.
Yeah.
He's calling us. You need to get interested in this.
Amen.
You need to be and take a part of this. You know, the second thing I thought of that impedes or that messes up the many possibilities. Not only disinterest, but doubt, unbelief. Right? Turn to Mark. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, the story we're all familiar with, in verse 1, and it says, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? So Jesus is on the scene, and he's not only teaching, these people are astonished, they're amazed by what he's teaching, and he's not only teaching, but he's doing mighty works. And it says here, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages teaching. You know, he said he could not do more. And the reason, we know God, he can do anything. He can do everything. There's nothing, there's no impossibilities. There's nothing impossible for God. Do you believe that? I believe that too, but you know what he said here? He couldn't do it because of unbelief. This would become a sad place. Our churches where we are working at would become a sad place if we just showed up on the streets to preach, if we just showed up to our churches, if we just showed up to our street corners, if we just showed up there not believing that God can do something.
Yeah, amen. True.
We're doing what we're supposed to do. We're going through the motions, but we have unbelief. Obviously there were people there listening to him. Obviously there were people there interested a little bit, but they didn't believe. They couldn't believe. They said, this guy, we know his father. He's just a carpenter. He's a nobody, right? He comes from a little nameless town. He can't be the Christ. Unbelief. Over there in chapter 9, another person in 9:21. If you want to go there, just real quick, couple pages over. It says, and he asked his father, how long is it a ghost since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Isn't that a funny comment? If you can do anything, just anything at all, you know, maybe just, do you have a little bit of power? Just a little bit more left in you? Do you have something? Can you? Will you? And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, he said, you got it wrong. Right? You shouldn't have been saying, can I do? The real thing is, can you? Can you believe? He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Do you believe that? All things are possible. Can the Lord send out more? All things are possible.
Amen.
You know, can the Lord get you, Vin, to Vietnam? All things are possible. Yep. You know, can the Lord, save your father-in-law?
Amen. Yeah.
Man, he's got cancer right now, right? Sure would be nice. It sure would be a blessing for Tweety to be able to go to Sicily knowing that her father was saved. We need to be praying about that.
Yeah. Amen.
It's not impossible. Do you believe that? Do you believe this man can get saved? Man, I believe that. I believe God can do it. Oh, help my unbelief, but I believe it. I believe it. I know God can do anything.
Amen.
You know, the next thing, the last thing, 2 Samuel. The last thing, almost done. I'll get out of the way, get the real preaching started. Chapter 12. Not only do we see that disinterest can ruin possibilities, it causes us to miss possibilities that God has for us. Not only disinterest, not only unbelief, doubt, that's a hard one, man. But disobedience. And we know the story, right? We know what happens in chapter 11. David commits some serious, serious sins, right? I mean, adultery and murder. Do you know if you look up in Deuteronomy, in Leviticus, and in Numbers, and in Exodus, those things were punishable by death. Adultery was punishable by stoning. David should have died. God should have taken David. But we see mercy. God took his son. That's a sad story. And even through that time of disobedience, when he repented, when the prophet came, when Nathan came and says, "You aren't that man." And he repented. And he got down on his knees and he prayed for that kid. God told him, "Your child is going to die. I'm going to take him." There is consequence to disobedience.
That's right.
But God knew who God was. David knew who God was. He said, "I'm just going to ask. I'm going to seek mercy again. Maybe God changed his mind." And when he heard that story and they were whispering there, "The child is dead. We can't tell the king. He's going to kill himself." Well, he got up and ate. He said, "I'll go to him. He ain't going to come to me, but I'll go to him." Faith in his God. But disobedience causes us to miss opportunities. In verse 7 of the second chapter of Samuel, chapter 12, it says, "And Nathan said to David, 'Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things.'" You know, if chapter 11 wouldn't have happened, if he would have not committed and been disobedient, if he would have been busy of doing the Lord's will, those blessings would have still continued. And I know, we can't go back, change anything. I understand that. I'm just telling you. Because I think this is an example, right? This is a learning story, right? We don't have to follow the same thing. We don't have to be disobedient. We don't have to lose like David lost.
Yeah.
We can just choose to hearken. We can just choose to obey. We can just choose to not doubt anymore. We can choose to have interest. You know, God has given us, and there's no doubt, God has blessed us as a church. God has blessed us as missionaries. God has blessed so many people that have come in through these doors. I know lots of people have gone. I understand that. You know, and I think of them, you know, this week I saw some people I hadn't seen in such a long time. So dear to me. I'm glad they're still going for the Lord. I'm glad they're still serving God in somewhere else in some other capacity. I think of so many people that were so dear to me. And you know what? I have comfort knowing that they're still walking with God.
Amen.
You know, I hope they get things worked out. I don't know why they left. Why, you know, things happen. But the big picture is Christ.
Amen.
That's right.
It's not about you.
Amen.
Right? It's not about you. Who can, man, he's going through the list. He said, David, Nathan's telling him, "David, the Lord God, he anointed you king. He delivered you." How many times, man? Saul was there throwing spears at you and you just dodging them, man. He delivered you. How many times were you in danger? Don't you remember that bear? Don't you remember that lion? Man, before this whole thing even started, you could have been dead. Could you imagine fighting a bear? I can't imagine that. Fighting a lion? I can't imagine that. But he did it and he won.
Thank you, Lord.
So many dangers, so many blessings, so many things that he had in his lives. He said, look, I gave you your master's house, their wives. You know, I gave you Israel. I gave you Judah. Wow. That's just incredible to me. The Lord reminded David of all those opportunities that he gave him. I don't want you to miss this. I'm going to end with this. He says in verse 8, in the latter part, our opportunities, we can miss our opportunities, brethren, by being disinterested. We can miss opportunities by doubt, doubting God. We can miss future opportunities, disobedience. He says here, and if that it wasn't enough, right? If that had been too little, and that's what Nathan thought. How could you have done this? Did you not value what God gave you? Don't you understand? Did you forget what happened? This is not a little thing God did for you. God saved you. That's not a little thing.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. It's true. That's
right. I was not looking for God.
Amen.
I was not. You were not looking for God.
Amen.
And God saved you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, you're no Robert Moffat. You're no
Amen.
David Livingston.
Amen.
You know, no one's going to rip out your heart and make sure it's buried in Africa and your body goes back to, you know, your family. Probably no one's going to do that. But let me tell you, God saved you.
Amen. Amen.
You are important. This church is important
Amen.
To the Lord.
Amen.
Those people that still need to hear, those people outside these doors that need to hear the gospel and need to get saved and be part of this, that's important to God.
Amen.
But he goes to say, if this was too little, David, he says there, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. What was such and such things? Do you know, David? What was the such and such things? We'll never know. He would have given them such and such things. You have no idea. You know, if you fall out of the race, if you decide today, I'm going to stop serving God. Could you imagine hearing that? I would have given you such and such things. I had so much. I had so many plans. I had all this, such and such things. Man, let me tell you, that indicates desire. When God says that he would moreover have given such and such things, that's God's desire. God's desire is to give us more blessings. Missing the opportunities are hinged, brethren. And probably there's a lot more. But it's hinged on disinterest. It's hinged on unbelief. It's hinged on disobedience. Don't miss the such and such things, opportunities that we have.
Amen.
God desires to give that to you.
Amen.
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 Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this week, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the people who opened up their homes for us.
Amen.
Bill and Deb who allowed us to stay at their house and all the blessings, Lord, that this church has given us, Lord. How you've taken care of your missionaries. You've taken care of your people, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you just continue to bless us, Lord. May this not be something of the past and something that we remember you did. Oh Lord, we desire for you to give us such and such things. Have no idea what that means, but we know if it comes from your hand, it's going to be marvelous. And Lord, I just pray that we can just step up and be more diligent. Some of us do extend ourselves a little bit more. Some of us here maybe even start doing something. Don't underestimate. Let us not underestimate, Lord, the things that you have for us, Lord. The possibilities, Lord, that you have for us, Father. I just thank you for this church. I thank you for our pastors. I thank you, Lord, what we've seen in these years here, Lord. Thank you for dying the cross for us, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for giving your life for us, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord.
Yes.
We need you. We love you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.